morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, June 28th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. Can you believe next week is the 4th already?
No, I cannot.
I mean, my goodness. I don't know where we're heading, but we sure are getting there fast.
I know we are, aren't we? The only thing that's not getting there fast is gold. And
I'm laughing, but it's not funny. I understand.
It isn't funny.
It's a buyer's market. It's a buyer's market. Now's the time to buy.
It certainly is, and I get a little cranky when I see these numbers on gold. You're looking at $1,249 on gold today, down $340. $340 for gold, down $1,249. Silver's down 3 pennies today. It did break down. We had a low of $1,587. It did come back at $16.08. Platinum was down $9 at $853. Palladium was down the same amount at 948. The USDX today, again, showing strength, 0.05, 95.33. Crude oil was up another 57 cents at 73.33, so it's off its high, excuse me, on the day. And the paper markets today, and we're going to talk a little bit about oil and the rising prices and the cause of it and the concerns about it. And actually, when you have that big of a price increase in crude oil, even though we've seen the strength in the dollar, gold certainly should be doing better than what it is. So I'm expecting, heading into a holiday, though, so I expect to see weakness in gold until we get back from the Independence Day holiday, which is next Wednesday. The Dow was up 97 points off its high, though, 24,214. The NASDAQ was up 58 at 7,503. The S&P was up 16 at 2,716. The 10-year yield, 2.85%. Germany was down a little over 1.3% overnight. The emotion that's driving the market, I mean, it's just that's tanking out of bed. The index, fear and greed index, that number is at 38. Pressure continues on Bitcoin. So Larry Kudlow is getting his wish when he was chosen as the Trump's economic advisor to looking for a strong dollar. That's his baby, and that's all he'll ever talk about. But there's a lot of things going on in the news. Let's just do this one real quick. We have a shooting at a newspaper. It was in Annapolis newsroom. The guy shot through a glass door. He opened fire on employees. There's 4 dead. 1 is in custody. And so there was a shotgun involved. It was the Capitol Gazette building in Annapolis. And so I'm not quite sure exactly what that is just unfolding right now, and details are coming in on that. So if any news updates on that, we'll go ahead and bring that to you throughout the hour. And is there anything before I go on to the oil market, anything? I don't know if you had something you wanted to touch on, but I did want to touch on oil a little bit.
Absolutely, I won't touch on oil. There's plenty of news today, all kinds of news. But I would, if I could, like to share the Ten Commandments of Smart Money that I thought was very well put together. I won't read all the details. I'll just read the commandments. I won't get into explain what it all means, but I think they explain themselves. And Melly, how many of us have been snookered in the past?
Well, everybody, I think, right? Each and every one of us, of course.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. So the person who put these together is a financial advisor, and his name is Alan Roth. And this is what he said, number one, thou shalt not forget that skillful salespeople can manipulate thy emotions. Boy, ain't that the truth. Number two, thou shalt not buy an investment before completely understanding it. Number three, thou shalt remember there is no such thing as a free lunch. Number four, thou shalt put thyself in the seller's
shoes
before
buying.
You're a
democratic socialist.
Well, unfortunately, we pay for it, though. That's the sad part.
I know. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I know. To them, it's free. They think it's free. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere, and everything just comes out of nowhere, just out of thin air, and it's all there. But, I know that's true. It said, but in number four, thou shalt put thyself in the seller's shoes before buying. Number five, thou shalt not ever believe thou art too smart to fall for bad investments. I've found that one before. Number six, thou shalt not accept the stated word, but instead always get it in writing. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number seven, thou shalt not buy anything that is too good to be true. Number eight, thou shalt avoid limited time offers like the plague. Thou shalt not depend upon a regulator for protection. And number 10, above all, thou shalt not forget that people wish to separate thee from thy money. And I thought those
I do disagree
good
with one.
Which one?
Avoid limited time offers. Lots of times I might only have inventory and I can only do a limited time offer. So I do disagree, and I would never
I understand. In some cases, it can be good. But you know how many times have you heard them advertise things? Well, this is limited time only. And it is a con sometimes. But yeah, I know you have limited time offers. I realize
it
we
is.
Do too
so,
on
mean,
the ministry.
Yeah, that's the only one I would have to disagree with. But anyway.
But I love the 10th one. Above all, thou shalt not forget that people wish to separate thee from thy money. And I thought that was pretty well put. But anyway, I want to share those 10 commandments of smart money. I thought they were pretty well done and self-explanatory. But now you can go on to something that you think's really important.
Well, you know, today we did see the crude oil that spiked above $74 a barrel, and this was the first time since 2014. We've had a 13% surge over the past week, and there's a couple of reasons why that oil is rising, and this will be hitting prior to the July 4th holiday weekend. We did talk a little bit about this, the Saudi Arabia, OPEC, they agreed last week to go all in with the production, and investors are betting that OPEC will have little room to respond to a future crisis. Not only that, we had a major oil producer in Canada suffered a power outage. That sort of disrupted the flow of crude to the U.S., and it did shut down. The power outage was last week. It shut down the Syncrude facility in Alberta, sidelining about 360,000 barrels per day at the major tar sands producer. Suncor Energy controls that facility, and they do expect production to be shuttered through at least July, and that was reported by Reuters. The Suncor spokesperson confirmed that Syncrude is not shipping any crude at this time, and the facility is conducting a comprehensive assessment to determine when it can get back online. Plus, we also have the administration. We know President Trump has stepped up his crackdown on Iran, which they're the world's fifth biggest oil producer. The State Department is now insisting that other countries stop importing Iranian oil or face sanctions from D.C. And excuse me, the end result, you have the crude oil jumped another 1.5% today and topped that $74 a barrel. So there's reports that perhaps India is not going to go along with the program. There might be some other countries that might not go along with Washington in not buying their oil from Iran. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plans out. The U.S., we're already producing a record amount of oil, and of course that's thanks to the Permian Basin of West Texas, but that growth has its limits. They're struggling with shortages of talent, pipeline, and supplies. So again, we're seeing these prices really don't see any end to, I don't think we're going to see oil prices dip back below 50 or, even 60 at this point in time, so we'll see how that goes. So,
well, we discussed this before. This is really, truly a direct hit in everyone's wallet. I don't care who you are. If you have an automobile, you got to have gasoline. And if you travel to work, you have to take trips, you want to go vacation, no matter what the reason, it hits you right in the pocketbook.
Absolutely, it does.
And that is something people don't really think about sometimes. You know, raise a nickel. Well, a nickel is a nickel. When you put in 50 gallons, that's, you know, 250. Or, I mean, 20 gallons, that's an extra dollar. But you do it every day or every two or three times a week, it adds up.
Well, you know, there was, the part with Iran, you have India, they very well could ignore the U.S. demand. China, they could ignore this U.S. demand because of the trade spat that we're experiencing. And I did read an interesting article today, Butch, that it was talking about that, you know, all this stuff, and I kind of agree with it. I'm not sure where it's going to be this fall. But this is just, you know, we think that there's this trade spat, a tit for tat, and all they're doing is setting it up, and they're going to come out with some sort of an agreement in the future, perhaps. And, I mean, we'll see. But I mean, you know, it's all these, you know, we're going to do all these tariffs, and then they're off, then they're on, then they're off, and then maybe we'll do this, then they're off. And I think it's just there to confuse people, keep everybody off their game. And, you know, in the meantime, they're working on a solution, and then all of a sudden there's going to be this announcement. And, you know, and in the meantime, people are trying to, you know, work with their investments. And, you know, there's other things that filter down that can have negative impacts while you have all this tit-for-tat stuff going on.
Well, China, from what I'm reading, also is going to put a 6% flat tariff on all U.S. imports. I guess you probably saw that article.
Yes, I did.
And what's that going to mean to us and our exporters? I don't know. You said tit for tat. We may see some improvement in some things. It may cost us more in other things. I really don't know, Melody. I wish I had an answer and tell me where this is going to lead to, but I just don't know.
Well, I think they'll come up with some sort of an agreement and so forth, but I don't need that because you don't know how much of it is real. You don't know how much of it is just positioning, bargaining, threats, in order to get the other side to do so. I don't know.
Well, uncertainty certainly will cause problem with the economy. I mean, people are afraid, they're not going to buy, and if the stock markets are nervous, they're going to do their thing. So uncertainty is not a good thing. Fear is a contributing factor to what happens.
And, you know, I have something here. You bring up Venezuela many times. It takes 5 million Venezuelan bolivars, which is the equivalent of $1.45. It's also roughly a minimum wage worker's entire monthly salary.
Oh, wow.
And it takes 1 million bolivars to buy a cup of coffee.
Wow.
That's one-fifth of Venezuela's monthly minimum wage, and a 10,000 bill stack of Venezuela's most common banknote, the 100 Bolivar bill, for a cup of coffee.
How are people still even existing? How are they even?
Well,
how do they keep a roof over their head and something in their bellies?
Well, you know, you've had a lot of people who left the country. We've been giving millions of dollars to the Latin countries to help with the refugees that they're, you know, bringing in from Venezuela. We have President Pence, not President, but Vice President Pence. Down at the, where's he at? He's somewhere in the south, Ecuador. And he's encouraging the Latin American countries to isolate the Maduro regime. And, you know, I understand that, you know, the Maduro regime is not a good regime, but hey, why are we taking the lead and going to all these countries for them to, you know, isolate Venezuela? It hurts the people. Maduro, he's not gonna, you know, walk away. And it's
George Washington said not to be entangled with foreign matters. I think the U.S. has broke that rule several times over the last several decades.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we're in this mess.
But we have Ecuador that's trying to seek and to improve some bilateral relations with the United States. Of course, the past decade, it was the relationship was somewhat tense with the previous ruler and a buddy of Maduro's. So, you know, the two countries agreed to exchange information regarding drug trafficking and international organized crime. Cooperation that Korea halted while in office. So, I don't know. I just find that interesting and disturbing at the same time, because I don't think that's where we need to be.
Well, it isn't. And you probably also read, I cannot remember the candidate's name that's running for president in Mexico and has a good chance of winning. He's running on the platform of taking out the drug cartels and the gangs. I cannot remember his name. I'm sorry for his name. But he's also saying that Mexicans need to hit the border millions at a time and take back their land from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That could lead to some serious situations. I mean, folks, all this is brewing right now. And about a third of the voters in the country are saying they believe civil war is likely soon. And 59% of them say liberals will resort to violence. Well, that's obviously true. Sarah Sanders had to get bodyguards, you know, to go with her when she went out. Yeah, it's obviously true. All of these factors are time bombs. They're going to go. One at a time, two or three at a time, but they're going to go. And it's going to bring such instability in everything that people are going to be so sad they didn't put back some food, a little bit of silver or gold, and a water filter. I tell you, Melody, I think that we're going to live to see it. Unless we die an untimely death, I think we're going to see this nation, I'll say, taken down, so to speak, hard because of what we've done over the years.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can say we want to drain the swamp, but I'll tell you what, look at how they're firing the people up. And this is coming from both sides.
It's not
just one side, it's coming from both sides. It's they're intentionally out there stirring it up.
And it's working very well. But you know,
it's working.
It's working frighteningly well. The Mitchell Dubin prophesied there'd be a civil war in this country. And then we'd be attacked in the south. Mexico was ready to attack us. And he said Mexico would be one of the countries that would attack us. Mexico was. And China coming from the south also. We are almost to that point.
Well, what point that we are at is break time. So we're heading into the first segment of the first break of the program today. We'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We had such a rainy season this year. The past weeks is nothing but rain. It's finally dried out. The wind is blowing, and now my allergies are... So forgive me for that little cough here and there, but you just can't win. But one thing I wanted to make a note of, you know, again, the pressure on gold and silver, a lot of it is due to the stronger dollar. The stronger dollar is hurting all these emerging markets. All their currencies are falling out of bed. But I came across this interesting report that the Federal Reserve had been tracking the dollar. And it has increased in 25 calendar years. And the average annualized returns for gold when the dollar was up in a given year was -1.7%. But in the years when the dollar index finished down, gold was up an annualized 16.4%.
Wow.
So I think that's great.
I do too.
Because we all know the dollar is going down. We all know that. They can appreciate this strong dollar for what it is right now. But it is temporary. They can't afford to have a strong dollar. They need a weaker dollar. They need inflation into this country. And they can have this short-term strength in the dollar for whatever reason. But it is killing the emerging markets. Other currencies are falling out of bed. And if you were in a tariff, if you were in a trade war, that's kind of how you'd want to position your country. So I definitely do believe they're doing everything in their power to strengthen the dollar and setting the stage so that it does increase.
Well, now is the time to buy gold and silver. If you have the funds to do it, do it now. One day it's going to quit dropping, and it's going to go straight up. Do it now.
This is an incredible buy at these levels, just an incredible buy. And I probably said that more than once in the last 23 years. But based on everything that we face, based on where we see this country heading, and you know, you might say, well, you know, people are working, unemployment's low, and the stock market is high. Just take a look at around and see people's behavior. It's shocking. It truly is shocking.
It's erratic, to say the least.
Yeah. Two more things. I kind of have to chuckle because, you know, they took GE out of the Dow and they put in Walgreens. And I had to laugh because after Walgreens got into the Dow, their shares tanked after Amazon bought a pharmacy, bought an online pharmacy. So I had a laugh, you know, I had to chuckle at that, you know.
Sometimes you can't win for losing, right?
I know. And there was something else I wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure I can bring it up here. It's not coming up here, so maybe... I had the numbers for the final reading on the first quarter of GDP, and it was not good.
Well, while you're looking for that, can I make a few comments on immigration?
Sure.
Worldwide, not just here. You probably saw that the Fed is going to start beginning distributing grant money to cities who are non-sanctuary cities. I guess you saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. The Fed shouldn't be giving grant money to anybody for anything. They don't have money. That's our money. I'd rather see them do that than we'll give it to cities who take in the illegals, no doubt. But, Melody, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. is still giving away money that is not too many to give. I wonder when people are going to figure that out. There's no such thing as federal dollars. It's our money. And Toronto's mayor, John Tory, said we can't handle the surge of immigration coming across the border because Trump's cracked down on immigration in the United States. They're coming here and said we can't handle it. Poor guy. He's okay as long as we took it. But whenever they start coming his way, they don't want it. Isn't that really strange? How easy it is to blame somebody for not doing something the way you think you should do it until it comes against you, then you have to do the same thing. I mean, it's amazing. That's the way it is. I mean, Tory is upset because Trump is cracking down on immigration, and it's starting to affect him in the city of Toronto. But it's worldwide. The EU says it could possibly crumble over immigration crunch, and that's from Angela Merkel, who's an idiot to start with. But she said it could cause a crunch. Italy's prime minister is meeting with Trump next month to discuss these issues. So immigration, Melody, is not just America. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And we got to understand that this affects people. When I'm trying to remember. Do you remember how many billion we spend a year on the illegals? I'm trying to remember. I think it's something like $36 billion a year. Is it $86 billion a year? Maybe you remember. That we spend out of our money taking care of illegals when they come across the border. And I don't care if they're only here for a week. Who feeds them? Who houses them? Who pays for the legal defense before we send them home?
Immigration.
Yeah.
Immigration would not be a problem to these politicians if the economies were doing well. If the economies were working on their own, you wouldn't hear any of these politicians peep the word immigration. Oh, they use that to get elected and so forth and whatnot. But the problem is not just our country. And I'm not condoning, you know, the billions of dollars that we spent. What I'm saying is it's a sign of just how desperate countries here and around the world are when it comes to their finances. They're all broke.
They are broke.
They're doing this immigration because they don't want to touch the entitlements yet. The entitlements are next, and then they're going to get a bunch of baby boomers screaming down their necks. So the money isn't there. They're close to the breaking point, and this is the only reason why immigration is truly the hot topic that it is. If countries weren't as broke as they are, you probably wouldn't hear much about anything.
Well, New Jersey's Governor Murphy is all upset because the legislation wants to raise the corporate taxes there higher than any other state in the country, and he didn't want to do that, but he wants to phase in more sales tax, whatever. But the point, whether it's corporate tax or income tax or sales tax or property tax, guess who pays the taxes? Mm-hmm. Look in the mirror, folks. You got the answer. So when governments are broke, they do not manufacture anything to sell to pay their bills. They come to you and I and dip in our pockets. And that's what happens every time. And when a nation is broke, for whatever reason, immigration, whatever the reason is, they turn to the people to bail them out. And that's what's happening. And nations across the world are starting to cry and whine over this. They should have done it 50 years ago, maybe, or longer. But now it's starting to come home the roost. You know, Melly, the politicians for a long time have had the idea of kicking a can down the road, haven't they?
They certainly have.
And now the can is almost to its limit. You can't kick it much further. So now we're seeing that it come to roost again, not only here, but in the UN and other places. So if the UN crumbles over immigration, the UN's crumbling anyway. Just another stick of dynamite stuck in the binding of the UN that was doomed to fail from the beginning. But nonetheless, this is just another way of doing it. But now we see feds actually paying cities not to take immigrants. Where could this lead, I wonder?
Well, you know, you mentioned New Jersey, and this is a little off the topic, but how broke they are. There is a report on our local news how Jersey are advising the police that they're required to issue tickets, traffic tickets, I don't know, one every 15 minutes or something like that. I don't recall. But they're going to increase their traffic tickets in order to help with the costs of running these police departments and so forth. So
it's happened right here in a town next to me called Somerville. They raised over $3 million taxes some years back. 30,000 tickets, where this capital city wrote 3,000 tickets in a year. So, yeah, that happens. Not only that, people probably don't know this, but part of that money goes to finance the judge's retirement. So you take it to court, guess who benefits?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go, folks.
Absolutely.
Now, wouldn't that be a conflict of interest anywhere else?
Not in this country anymore. No. There is no conflict of interest anywhere anymore.
Especially if you're one of the elite. But anyway, but that's what we're seeing happening. Yes, they finance whatever they have to. That's why they now have that they can arrest your property. They don't arrest you. They don't even tell you why they took your money in your car. They arrest your property because you suspect you might be a drug dealer. They send you home broke, on by foot, but they keep your property and sell it. Now that's also going on. You know that also, I'm sure.
Yes.
So this is America today. Say what you want, love it, hate it, whatever. It is America today.
And you know what's amazing is we had that young woman, 28 years old, New York. I've talked about this before on a different program, about how these women are running under this Democratic Socialist ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They're being elected into office very quietly. The one in New York, it wasn't quiet with her because she booted it out the long term guy. And I was talking to someone, and I says, "Yeah," I says, "you know, we got another socialist." Oh no, there's a no. It's Democratic Socialists.
And there's a difference?
There's a difference?
Huh? What's the difference?
This is the thinking of, and the youth. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that really is the road we're headed.
It is.
And these young kids, these 28-year-olds, 30-year-olds, even 35-year-olds, they have these student loans, and they love it. They love all the free stuff.
Well, you know, that's what I keep wanting to say. Bernie Sanders ran on that ticket. You know that?
Ticket, yeah.
Yeah, free for everybody. Free jobs, government jobs. Free, free everything. Free college. Everything's free.
Free homes. Yep.
Everything. So, I mean, he's a good guy. We should elect him.
Yep. But I mean, it's frightening, it's interesting, but it shows exactly the direction that we're headed and what people are willing. And if our economy was so great, they wouldn't be looking for free handouts. If we didn't have the inflation that we have due to a dollar that's not backed by anything, if their purchasing power hadn't been eroded over these how many years, decades, they probably wouldn't be going down this road looking for free handouts.
Well, look what brought on
They can't make it in this world.
No, you're right. And look what happened to bring in the first socialist idea of Social Security. It was a Great Depression, was it not? Whether it's man-made or not, it's a way to bring the people to their knees and make them beg for help from the government. And Roosevelt promised a chicken in every pot and car in every garage. And Social Security, everybody in the working WPA and all the other things to bring in welfare benefits to a nation that would not tolerate before. He also took away the gold, outlaw gold, took away our basic dollar, if you will, sound dollar. My time on, Meldis, that's been, 100 and some years? My time on, look what's happened to our country. And you remember the war on poverty? Lyndon Baines Johnson, remember that?
Sure.
It hasn't worked too well, because I just read today that the war on poverty, according to the UN in this country, over 40% of the people in this country now are in poverty, 18.5% extreme poverty, and 5.3 million are in third world conditions. The war on poverty. The Bible says the poor you'll have with you always. And that's pitiful to say that. Well, I didn't say Christ did. But they were going to do a war on poverty. And what they really were saying was, behind their backs, We're going to do a war in the middle class. We're going to tax them to oblivion. They knew they couldn't stop poverty. And my grandma used to say, poor is as poor does. Today I make everybody mad, but this is the way it is. So they brought this about a little bit of time and over a lot of years. And look where it's got us. And now we're accepting it. Now it's a good idea. Nelly Houston, we got ourselves in a mess.
We do. And, you know, I just want to go back to your comment about the Depression. A lot of words are beginning to come into when they talk about these democratic socialists. They're associating their ideas not to socialism, but to the New Deal. And you talk to a lot of older people, and they think the New Deal, the New Deals that were created after the Depression, were great. You know, but again, now they're tying the New Deal to the democratic socialists instead of what it really is socialism.
Well, my dad's generation thought that Roosevelt and John L. Lewis was the president. UMW, where they were gods. I mean, before my dad passed away, he realized what had happened. They made fools out of us. But as I just read those Ten Commandments about money, there's always somebody looking to take your money from you. We need to remember that. And government, we got to remember this, government does not produce a cotton-picking thing. They take it to give it. Every time you vote, somebody's going to give you something. They're going to take even more. And every time we give up a responsibility, we lose a liberty. We lose more freedom. So it's not hard to understand. That's why we're in a police state. They tell us what to do. They tell us to wear our seatbelts, to wear our helmets, to get insurances, to get mandatory health care, because they own us, as Nehemiah chapter 4 prophesied. They own us. Like you're to lump it. It's Bible. We've allowed it to happen, and they own us.
They do. Tell you what type of color to paint your house, your doors you can
they
have.
Really do.
I mean, just everything.
They do.
We're forced to buy health care. We're forced to carry certain deductibles. We're forced to do this. We're forced. And you know what? It's, you know, when it came to the health care, it's that was really what. But you know, it's all by design.
Yes, it is.
You know, all by design.
And but the people seem to love to have it so, Melody. I know some people haven't said that, but people seem to love to have it so. And there's nothing I can do about it except tell the truth.
What we're going to have is another break. So Butch and I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Butch. Paul, we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Let me see if I can see if we had a little bit of a reversal in the precious metals. 1248, a little bit here in the aftermarket, but not a whole lot. But bargain of the century, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We still have the 50-cent pieces, the Kennedy half dollars, and the Ben Franklin's, just a mixed bag, $25 face value. We have a few of those left, not too many more, but they've been selling like hotcakes. So make sure you give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
And I want to ask you a question about an article that I was reading today, too, because I know you got the answer. They said that the debt for U.S. corporations has reached $6 trillion. That's a lot of money. Said that they have their new, I guess you say, speculative grade borrowers have reached a new record low cash to debt ratio of 12%. 2008, it was over 14%. Is that saying that we're worse off now financially than we were in 2008 for the corporations?
Well, at least we're at the same spot as we were in 2008.
Well, how long can we maintain that when they crashed back then? I mean, banks were crashing. How long can we maintain that?
Now, supposedly their cash holdings are a little bit better than what they were in 2008. So it gives them the idea that they're a little bit better off than they were in 2008, even though they have the same amount of debt, even though we reached a new record. Again, this is just another sign that, the total debt rose just almost $3 trillion in just 5 years.
Well, how does that tie in with the fact that Deutsche Bank has hit a record low and it's dragging down other European banks along the way? How does that tie in with that? I mean, this has got to be a worldwide linked economy, does it not?
Well, sure it is. The world has been synchronized in order to support, their economies through, with free money. And these multinational corporations, they borrow so they can buy back their shares to keep their shares at higher numbers to attract investors.
Yeah, it's just amazing that they juggle these books like this. I have to give them credit for some type of ingenuity, because they sure have kept it going somehow through all this mess.
So it's it is. So it's just another sign that the whole world is based on debt. Well, one of these days, how much debt could continue to be funneled into these economies and to these stock markets just to keep it going, when there's really no foundation underneath it?
Well, there
hasn't
been a foundation for
years. No foundation. And we're not, the countries aren't building those economies to sustain those high numbers. That's not happening. I know that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to accomplish. But, it can't be done. I mean, I had this report here, and I lost it once again. It was on the GDP for the first quarter of the year. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. When I'm trying to do something real quick, it never happens real quick.
Okay.
The U.S. economy slowed more than previously estimated in the first quarter. Growth appears to have since regained a little momentum, but the gross domestic product increased at a 2.0% annual rate in the January to March period instead of the 2.2% that was reported last month. So the economy has slowed more than previously estimated during the first quarter, and they're expecting a 4% GDP for the second quarter?
Wow.
How are they going to manage that? Even at 3%? Possible. Most likely it's going to happen. I mean, they're going to give you a 3% number, whether you like it or not, or whether it's the truth or not. That's what we'll probably get.
Well, you know, but they have to do that because midterm elections are coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to. If they let it drop now, Trump will lose his momentum.
They say because of the $1.5 trillion income tax cut package that went into effect in January, they think that's what is going to spur the growth in the second quarter. Do you know anybody that has gone out there on a spending spree because they got a tax cut? I don't know of anybody.
I don't know that I even got a tax cut. I couldn't tell it. Could you? No, I couldn't tell it. I mean, I really couldn't tell it. I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
It didn't trickle down to me.
I didn't see any changes in my payroll.
No.
A little.
Nope.
So I don't think too many people are out there. I think there's other things that might be spurring on, you know, some purchasing, and that's higher rates. You know, sometimes people want to, you know, get into their cars and houses and so forth before rates get too high, and then, you know, they're kicked out of the level that they want to be at. So again, there's growth estimates for the second quarter as high as 5.3%.
Yeah. I don't see it happening.
And they had it revised downward for the first quarter.
I don't see it happening. Unless there's something they got planned that I don't foresee, I can't see it happening.
The only way I foresee it happening is they just lie about it. And
that's the way it could happen. It's like the inflation rate and the unemployment rate. You lie about it.
Lie about it. You change the way you equate the number, and that way you get a, you know, and hey, after all, they have three chances to get the GDP right. You know, they're able to revise the GDP three times, so if you don't get it right the first time, government can't get it right the second time, so they're giving them, you know, third time's a charm.
You've heard, remember the quote Roosevelt said, all we have to fear is fear itself. You remember that quote?
Yes, I do.
Well, if it makes people feel good, they'll go out and buy it, perhaps. There may be something going good on it, as long as you're not afraid. They have to keep the numbers manufactured look good, no matter what how they do it. They got to do it because it keeps the people upbeat and hoping for something better. But you know, fear, just speaking of fear, I guess you heard about Chipotle shutting down some stores. You saw that, right?
Briefly, yes.
Yeah, they're shutting down 69 stores. You know why? Negative press. They had some health issues. People had had hepatitis A or something. But that's fear. Fear shutting down stores. And Starbucks, of course, had a politically correct moment, I guess you say, and they're losing business. So fear and emotions control businesses. And you say, well, 69 stores is not a big deal. It is if you work here. It is if that's how you make your living, it's a big deal. So fear can make a lot of difference. If there's a big glitch somewhere in all these projections and people actually see it and feel it, it's going to hurt, man, because people are going to panic. That's what caused this whole thing to happen in 1929, the panic, was it not?
Yes, it was.
You say, well, we got stopgap measure, and it can't happen again. Oh, yes, it can happen again. The only difference between now and then, we have a bigger bubble to bust. That's all.
That's
going to hurt worse.
So. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. And people just seem to be a little more fearful now than they ever were. And because they've been driven to be fearful. And it really is behaviors anymore. It's interesting to see how they've been, you know, how changed and how people are manipulated to behave and to act a certain way.
Well, look what's happening in the country with the anger and frustrations going on. Yeah, they're manipulated. I mean, you really that's how they do it. That's exactly how. And I'm going to say Satan, it's like it is. Satan drives through fear. Christ leads by faith. Fear is a great motivating factor for people. People panic. That's how we have this. Have these, I guess what they call them, snowflakes. Somebody mentions gun, they're going to panic attack. You know, and it just goes on that way because we've been taught to fear. And one mass shooting after another, whether they're real or not, or no matter what, no matter if they're mind-controlled zombies, what happens, it makes no difference. People are afraid. And they'll do anything to stay safe. They'll do what they have to do. They'll sell their soul, so to speak, to keep safety and security. We did the same thing with all the benefits here right now, Melody, whether we like it or not. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD, all that's here to stay, as long as it lasts. And the people want that way because it takes away some of the fear and the uncertainty of life. We don't want liberty. We want benefits. It's only cost us our freedoms. That's our liberty. People scream all the time, let's go back to the Bill of Rights. Let's go back to the Declaration of Independence. No, people don't want to do that. They be responsible for taking care of themselves. You can't have that today. People want something, some kind of fail-safe measure to fall back on in case something happens. They do not want to make it on their own or fail on their own. Now, I'm telling the truth. They don't want to have faith in God. It's like the Israelites in the wilderness. They didn't want faith in God. They want to go back to Egypt where all the stuff was given to them. All through that trip and through the wilderness, they want to go back to Egypt where they promised a place to sleep and something to eat. We're no different than they are. We were given freedom and liberty to produce and become wealthy or make a good living as free people, but we'd trade it in for a bowl of porridge. We went back into Egypt, so to speak, back into bondage because that we're guaranteed a social security check, a welfare check, food stamps. Now that is the gospel truth and it's historical fact, is it not?
Yeah, and they used, you know, these multinational corporations through advertising, through targeting various groups and so forth, you know, constantly telling people we're going to outlive our money and having the carrot dangling that people can, you know, travel the world. There's a certain standard, a lifestyle standard that, you know, they should live their, you know, their scene. My grandparents were poor.
Yes.
And I don't ever remember any type of fear of living at their end times, their last days. There just wasn't any. There was family to take care of them. They didn't have a lot of money. They were poor. Their needs were taken care of. But you're right. We have, you know, just been taken down this road. Strip us of every single penny we have.
Of course.
And put us into debt, into slavery.
Materialistic people go further than go into slavery every day. I mean, our grandparents and their parents before them, a lot of them didn't have to worry about health insurances and car insurances and house, big house payments. And they didn't have that. Even electricity bills, they didn't have that. Phone bills, didn't have that. Now we depend on all those things. All they needed was a little bit of food and a place to sleep. They could make their living on their own property, basically. They didn't have a lot. They didn't have a lot of things extra. But they eat and slept. Today we have so much extra, it keeps us hustling every day just to pay the power bills, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So, we say we're a free people. We're idiots, too, to believe that. We're enslaved more than any other people in the world now as a nation. Now, people don't want to hear that. I don't care whether they hear it or not. We are enslaved by fear, control, and greed, wanting things given to us that no one deserves for free. Biblically and historically, men earned their way or they didn't get away, period. The Bible said if you don't work, you don't eat. That sure wouldn't apply to many people in this country today.
Yeah. You know, just earlier you brought up the Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yes.
And that restaurant. And now they're coming out and saying that restaurant, the Red Hen, and I guess they're not opening up for until after the 4th or something like that. They've just been closed down, but now they've just been they were hit by a cyber attack.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They're being targeted in a cyber attack. This was according to a researcher. Of course, this could have been released just to make up for perhaps the impact that they have. But the scammers have apparently taken over parts of the Red Hen's website in order to use its sudden popularity to drive traffic to their own websites. So it's kind of interesting. I guess what goes around comes around sometimes. But
there's always repercussions. Yeah, well, there's always equal and opposite reaction, is there not?
Yes.
The reaction, there is. One last thing I want to say.
Sure.
The UN is still coming after the Americans' guns. They just met this past week on small arms control worldwide, and they said we have to have global gun control. They want to disarm the American people. If they do get our guns, we have nothing left to stop total takeover and takedown. And if we give them up, we've sinned against God, because it is our duty, not right, duty to be armed, to defend ourselves and our family. That's our duty. Folks, read it for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 4, read it for yourself. It's our duty. And if we give that up, we deserve what we get.
And anything else that you'd like to add? Oh, I guess we don't have time to add anything. You're listening
we're done.
To find... We're done. We'll be back tomorrow, and it is Friday tomorrow. I'll be here with Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.